Good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. And welcome to our morning Psalms devotional in Psalm 80 this morning. It's Friday. Grogu's here. I hope you're here. And I hope you're ready to dig into God's Word together in Psalm 80 this morning. Do need to let you know that next week is the PCA's General Assembly in St. Louis, and so I will be away at that all week next week, so there will be no morning Psalms devotionals, and I would encourage you and ask you please to pray for the PCA and for our General Assembly, and we pray that the Lord would work, would bring unity and purity and gospel focus and the right emphasis to his church as we gather for General Assembly. There's a record number of commissioners who are going this year, so it's going to be the biggest General Assembly ever in the history of the PCA, so appreciate your prayers for that. Let's pray, and then we'll dig into Psalm 80 together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for your unfailing, covenant-loyal, steadfast love that never changes, never fails, and never fades in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we pray that you would teach us your word today, that you would write it on our hearts. We need you. We come to you seeking you because we need you to speak to us. We need your Spirit's help to illumine our minds, to understand your word, to soften our hearts, to receive your word by true faith. We pray that you would lead us in truth and righteousness through your word for your glory and honor and for our own eternal good. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 80 is written to the choir master according to Lilies, which is probably the tune that it was set to. It's called a testimony. It is of Asaph, and it is a psalm. All that is in the title. Those titles, by the way, are in all of the oldest manuscripts, so we believe they are original to the psalms themselves, or to perhaps when the psalm book was compiled, which might have happened under Ezra during the return from exile. But those titles are part of the psalm. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord, God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us an object of contention for our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. Why, then, have you broken down its walls, so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it. Turn again, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine, the stock that your right hand planted, and for the son whom you made strong for yourself. They have burned it with fire. They have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your face, but let your hand be on the hand man of your right hand, the son of man whom you have made strong for yourself. Then we shall not turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. Amen. It's not hard to see what the central plea in Psalm 80 is. It's a plea for revival or restoration. It's a plea for God to reestablish, rebuild up, and revive the people of God. It's repeated three times. And what's interesting about this refrain in Psalm 80 that's repeated three times is that each time it's repeated, the name of God is expanded, which intensifies the plea, brings in another aspect of God's character. So the first time in verse 3, when we see this refrain, it's "Restore us, O God, let your face shine, that we may be saved." Let your face shine harkens back to the Aaronic blessing. So it's an echo of the blessing that the priests of Aaron, the Levitical priesthood under the line of Aaron, that they would pronounce on the people of God. You can find that in Numbers chapter 6, verse 23 and 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious. Get it right. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. So again, the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. That's the blessing from the priest of Aaron. And then it's echoed with, Lord, lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. So the prayer here is that God would bless his people the way that he promised. See, it's very effective and powerful, and the Word of God sets this example for us when we pray God's words back to him. So God had given that blessing to the priests of Aaron, that he would bless his people by causing his face to shine upon them, which is that he would have a positive regard for them, that he would look upon them with kindness, that he would not turn his back on them in judgment, but that he would be gracious to them. And that's their only hope. Restore us, O God, let your face shine, that we may be saved. That's the central plea. And here God is called God, Elohim, the strong and mighty one. The next time the prayer is repeated by Asaph, it's restore us, O God of hosts. Now, God of hosts, the hosts are not the people who seat you at a restaurant, but they are the armies of heaven. So he's the God of angel armies. He's the God of the angels of heaven. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. But the third and final time that this is repeated, it's restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. And you see the Lord in all caps, and that is Yahweh. That's the covenant name of God. And that's powerful. That's the name by which God revealed himself to Moses and told the people of God to call him. And it's derived from the Hebrew for I am who I am. And when God says, I am who I am, it means I always have been and am and always will be who I am, unchanging and self-sufficient, because he is who he is. He doesn't need anyone else to make of him who he is. So restore us, O Lord God of hosts, O Yahweh, God of the angel armies, the unchanging and self-sufficient one, let your face shine that we may be saved. That's the central plea of Psalm 80. It's repeated three times, and each time the name of God is expanded to deepen and strengthen the basis for the plea. Because when we plead to God in prayer, we're pleading to him on the basis of who he is, his own character, and the promises that he has given in his word. You need to ground all of your prayers in the character and the promises of God. The character of God is revealed in his name, and the promises of God are revealed through his word. So you pray the name of God and the word of God, the character of God and the promises of God when you pray. And we see that example here from Asaph in Psalm 80. The opening of this prayer, excuse me, I need more coffee apparently. My allergies, you know, I spent like a week and a half in Florida, and it was hot and it was humid, but I didn't have these allergies down there. So there's something in the air in Maryland that tickles my throat constantly. All right, back to the psalm. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. The first plea from Asaph is that God would hear. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. God is the shepherd of his people. He leads. Shepherds in biblical times were out in front of their flock. They weren't driving their flock from behind and using dogs to keep the flock from going astray. They led the flock from the front, and the flock knew the voice of the shepherd and the presence of the shepherd and wanted to be with the shepherd so they would follow after the shepherd. That should be us. Our heart should be to know the voice of our shepherd, which we hear through his word, and to follow after him, to stay close to him, and we should pray for him to lead us in a way that's right. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim. This is a reference to the glorious enthronement of God. And this cherubim is the first time the angels of heaven are mentioned, and it'll be repeated in that refrain in the second and third time of hosts, the angel armies. The cherubim around the throne of God are part of these angel armies, the cherubim and the seraphim and the angelic messengers and hosts of heaven are part of. God is enthroned in their midst, and he commands them according to his will. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your might and come to save us. Now that's a reference to some northern tribes. So this may have been written at a time when the northern tribes of Israel were threatened by Assyria. The northern tribes of Israel were taken into captivity about 120, 130 years before the southern tribes. So this may have come out of that time, which we don't really know. But often any invaders who threatened the people of God would threaten first those northern tribes. So there's some sort of invasion, some sort of threat to the nation of Israel. And there's a direct plea, stir up your might and come to save us. Once we have grounded our prayers in the character of God and the promises of God, in his name and in his word, our prayers can be bold. Last night at men's group, we were learning about adoption. And one of the privileges of adoption as children of God is that it allows us to approach the throne of grace with boldness. And so we come with boldness before the throne of grace because it's the throne of our Heavenly Father. And if we're praying according to his will, God tells us in 1 John, if we're praying anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we already have the things that we've asked for. Again, if it's according to his will. The problem is people make up all sorts of things that God never promised and aren't really in keeping with God's character. And then they ask God for those things. And that's not really what God's purpose is. God's purpose is to make us more like Christ, to grow us in holiness, to refine and strengthen us. And that's what's being asked here. Come to save us, restore us, let your face shine. Even more than deliverance from foreign armies, Asaph here wants God to be gracious to his people and to lead his people. He wants God to be close to and gracious to his people. Painful questions are asked. How long? O Lord God of hosts, this is the first time this full title of God is used, verse 4. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You fed them with the bread of tears, you've given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us an object of contention for our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts, let your face shine, that we may be saved. Again, we're surrounded by enemies in this life. We've talked about this over and over again in our Psalms devotional time. We're surrounded by enemies. The world hates God. The devil continually attacks us. Our own flesh rages within us. And when we are suffering and when we are down, we are mocked by our enemies. There's a retelling of redemptive history. We've talked about this as well, especially on Monday, the importance of knowing our own history. This is an allegorical way of retelling the history of the people of Israel as a vine brought out of the land of Egypt and planted in Canaan, planted in the promised land, cleared the ground, it took deep root, it filled the land. And now enemies have come and broken down its walls. Now those who pass by can pluck its fruit. Now the boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it. So Israel was always surrounded by enemies on three sides. You had the Mediterranean Sea on the west, but then you had enemies to the north and to the east and to the south. And really, this is a plea that it seems like everywhere the enemies are triumphing over the people of God. And so turn again, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and see. And especially these last few verses, I want us to see the great intentionality of the language here that is very much focused on Christ. Now, what we should understand is that in the days of Israel, let me fix my camera. Why did it do that? I don't know. In the days of Israel, the nation of Israel, the people of God, were referred to as the Son of God. Collectively, Israel was God's son. But here, there's and the king of Israel, by extension, was often referred to as the man of God's right hand, because the right hand is the place of authority and power, and so God would exercise his authority over his people through his anointed king, like David or Solomon. And so they were sometimes referred to as the right hand of God. But ultimately, both of those titles, Son of God and the right hand of God, come to find their fulfillment in Jesus. So Jesus is the Son whom he has made strong for himself. Jesus was anointed by the Father with the Holy Spirit, so he was made strong in his human person by the powerful indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was used by God powerfully, again, twice, made strong for yourself. Jesus said, I've come not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And he is the man of God's right hand. So ultimately, our salvation and the answer to Psalm 80 comes as God anoints Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And as Jesus sits now at God's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us, in Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the man of God's right hand, we find the answer to this prayer, and we find the hope of our souls. So once God has done this, and he has done this, he's made Christ strong, he has seated him at his right hand, he has accomplished salvation for his people, then we can get to verse 18, then we shall not turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call upon your name. So in Christ, we have been given life by the Holy Spirit, who not only gives us life, but who keeps us in Christ. And so we are kept, and we will not turn back from God, and we will call upon his name. But that part of that calling upon his name is, again, to repeat the plea, restore us. O Lord God of hosts, let your face shine, that we may be saved. We still long to see and to know and to experience the gracious presence of God with us day by day, and God being for us in our lives. Well, that is Psalm 80. It's a great prayer for revival and restoration that ultimately comes through Christ for the people of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have sent your Son, the Son of God, that he became the Son of Man, the fulfillment of the hopes of your people for the Anointed One whom you made strong for yourself by the power of your Holy Spirit. Indwelling him, the man Christ Jesus became our Redeemer, our Messiah, our Lord and Savior, our salvation. And because of Christ, we are in you forever. We will not be lost. We will be kept, and we will be continually blessed. And so we ask you, O Father, bless us today. Let your face shine upon us. Restore us, O Lord. We pray that you would have your hand upon us for good, that you would make us more faithful to you. I pray this for the Presbyterian Church in America as we gather for General Assembly next week. I pray that you would restore us, O Lord God of hosts, that you would cause your face to shine upon us, that we may be saved, that we may be strengthened and purified and made more faithful to your calling upon us, that we would not be in love with the world or the things of the world, but that we would be wholly committed and focused on doing your will. Father, you are good. Your love endures forever. Be gracious to us. We do thank you that Jacob and Carol got good news that they will be able to leave and come home on time. We pray that you would keep your hand upon them and protect them and guide them home. And we look forward to seeing them and being with them according to your will, Father, in September. We are longing for that time. And so we look forward to it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you again for spending this time with me in God's Word. I hope it was a blessing to you. We are gathering together for worship on Sunday morning at 10:30 at the Newport Terrace on Newport Drive in Forest Hill. Hope you can join us then. Have a blessed day in the Lord.